still remember that first time we had dinner together, and they were very gracious to our family and took us up there along the lake. And amen. I had my, I know we're being live streamed, so I've got a prayer request, but I'll wait until we're in prayer time for that. And to let you know, be praying for us. God is doing just a wonderful work in Pittsburgh, and we're thrilled with that, excited about that. And when I talked to Pastor Leatherman before he got on the plane, I said he started telling me different things about, you know, coming down and making sure, you know, that I get taken out to dinner, and if I have to stay over, you know, that I said, listen, I said, I'm kind of family there. I know where the refrigerator is, you know. I'm just going back to family, and so that's what I really believe about this place. One of the things that I love about this place is your pastor. I love that your pastor has a national reputation. I love that your pastor has a worldwide vision, but I love that your pastor loves this place. He is a local church pastor, and I love that about him. He's been faithful in this place for so many years, and I desire that so much at Legacy, to just be found faithful year after year after year. God has been blessing, and we started in a hotel. We left the hotel to get storefront space in a storefront, and we've been meeting there, and God's just continuing doing work there. And our whole church would go into a closet and come out of the closet. Everything had to be taken down. Everything has to be put up every single week. It has to literally, when we walk out of the building, there has to be no semblance that we were ever there every single week. And that, of course, a lot of work, and our folk do it, and they love doing it, and we have vacuum parties, and we just have a great time. And do, oh yeah, never put black carpet in your church. I mean, it's just a nightmare. But that's what we do. And then recently, we've been able to take some dead space, and we were able to build our own auditorium. And so now we don't have nearly as much setup, nearly as much takedown, and that's been a blessing. And I see you're doing much in scripture memory. We really started promoting scripture memory, and it wasn't that long ago. In October, we had Scripture Sunday. And on Saturday, we put together scriptures and built scriptures for the mission field. And then on Sunday, our church was able to sing for a half hour nothing but scripture songs. And what a joy that was. It was a powerful service, because the Word of God is so very precious. And so continue to pray for us, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about the ministry there and what God's doing. And we just had what I called our Ethiopian eunuch. Every Sunday morning, I drive to the University of Pittsburgh and I pick up students. And the Lord has recently opened the door to the Chinese through the University of Pittsburgh. The University of Pittsburgh and the Chinese government have an education swap types thing, and so there's a lot of Chinese studying in Pittsburgh. And just recently, I had the privilege, about a month ago, had the privilege of leading a Chinese PhD mathematician to the Lord at Legacy. And then I just a couple weeks ago, baptized him, and now he's already back in China. And a place where no missionary can go, saved, baptized, and then sent back, and just so excited about that. And then we've baptized several others, and folk are coming, and so we're just trying to plant a church, amen? And so if you have your Bibles with you, would you go this evening? We're going to skip around. I normally don't do this, but tonight we're going to. I normally stay in one passage, and I'm fine there, but we're going to skip around just a little bit. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you put notes in your Bible, if you underline your Bible, if you put words beside there, Lester Roloff used to say a clean Bible is a lean soul. And so I like to mark my Bible. I like to use it as my notebook. Right there where the Bible says, which is your reasonable service, you could put in your margin the word logical. That word reasonable can be rephrased so that it's your logical. So in other words, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your logical service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, that you may prove what is acceptable, that you may prove what is perfect, that you may prove what is the will of God. I want to speak to you for a few minutes tonight in the title, Be Ye Transformed. Father, help us as we look at your word. Help us to discern it, help us to apply it, and help us to be better servants for you because of it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The theme for our church this year is Be Ye Transformed. And I want to be honest with you. I got saved January 8, 1989. I was serving the United States Marine Corps in a station at Quantico, Virginia. My life came to wit's end, and I got saved. And when I got saved, I became a new creature. And a transformation process started. Man, I remember when I first got saved, I couldn't wait to get to the house of the Lord. I couldn't wait to read my Bible. I couldn't wait to pray with somebody. Everything was new, and it was so exciting. It was so invigorating that God was changing my life. Constantly, I'd be reading verses, and as I read those verses, something in my life would have to change. I couldn't remain the same with the knowledge of the Scripture that I had. Do you remember those days? And what I've come to realize now, some 20 years into it, the Bible says, be ye transformed. In other words, I ought to still be changing. The Word of God still ought to be working in my heart. The verses are still there where I don't have everything right just yet. I'm close. I don't have everything right. When we look to the Scriptures, we see the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul said, listen, I have not apprehended. I have not attained. I'm the chiefest of sinners. You'll wonder why Paul was used so much of the Lord. Because he never figured he arrived. You know what marks modern day Christianity? We all think we've arrived. We've got buildings and we've got pews and we've got programs, and you know, if we don't pick our Bibles up, it'll be okay. The Lord's not going to strike us dead with a lightning bolt. You know, and listen, I've got a job that gives me a constant paycheck, and you know, I really don't need to be changed anymore. I've come to a point in my life where I'm tired of that. And I want to get back to where God can change my life in any way He wants. Where there's nothing off the table. I got studying the disciples, and I love studying the disciples because the disciples were men just like us. And so if you go back quickly, go back to Matthew chapter 4. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. We're talking about being transformed. We're talking about proving what is acceptable, proving the will of God in our lives. We're talking about not just continuing on because we always have, but finding joy in change. Boy, that's an oxymoron, isn't it? Joy and change. But the truth is, we should be transformed. We should be more like Christ tonight than we were this morning. And in Matthew chapter 4, I find this amazing. This is when he's calling the disciples. Matthew chapter 4 says this in verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We all know that verse, don't we? We've memorized that verse. And man, when it comes to soul winning, and when it comes to going out and knocking on doors, and when it comes out to giving out gospel tracts, and when it comes out to inviting people to church, hey, we've got that. I mean, that is something that we've heard preached and taught. That's something, hey, I'll make you fishers of men. Man, we are thrilled with that, right? But could we read it just a little bit different for a second? Look what the Bible says. And he saith unto them, follow me. Now, I don't know because I wasn't there and I can't get the DVD to run it back. But in my mind's eye, you have the Lord Jesus Christ walking, and he's walking by these men. In my mind's eye, I don't even believe that Jesus even stopped walking when he was talking. In other words, as he was walking by these folk, as he was walking by these men, he said, follow me. They had a choice to make. And it was going to be a choice that was going to determine their destiny. It was going to be a choice that was going to determine the direction of their lives. It was going to be a choice that will forever mark them. Do I follow him or do I not? Have you made that decision? Many of us have. We've trusted Christ. Many of us have come to this altar and surrendered certain areas of our lives to the Lord. Many of us have said, Lord, wherever you lead, I will follow. Amen? I mean, the Lord's taking me to Russia. I've been all over Europe. He's taking me to Charlotte, the South. I'm a Yankee. They'll tell you in the South, I'm a Yankee. My pastor will tell you, he's a Yankee. Now the Lord's brought me on. I've said in my life, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll follow. But you know, it always comes up. I hate change. Lord, I'll follow you as long as you don't change anything. Don't you hate when you're driving down the road in a detour? Oh, I get this little GPS thing and that woman drives you nuts. Recalculating. I throw it on the floor. Shut up. We so hate change, but it's so what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do in our lives. And I'll be honest with you, it's so what we desperately need him to do in our lives. So the Lord, when he sees the disciples, he just looks at them and says, follow me. And they have to make a choice. Do you want to be transformed this year? The truth is, it's your choice. The Lord says, follow me. Now look at the next phrase. The Bible says, the Lord says, and I will make you. You see, before we get to the fishers of men part, and the fishers of men part is important, and the soul winning is important, and the serving in the local church is important. Before we get to that, the Lord says, I want to make you something different than what you are. Ooh. Years ago, I got on a plane from Pittsburgh. I landed in Atlanta. When I landed in Atlanta, I waited around, and I got on a Greyhound bus. Got on the Greyhound bus, and that Greyhound bus went out for a ways, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, that Greyhound bus stopped. That Greyhound bus stopped, and a man got on that bus with this goofy-looking hat. That man got off on that bus with that goofy little hat, and he said, all right, welcome to Paris Island, Marine Corps boot camp. He said, when I say now, you're going to get off this bus. And when you get off this bus, there's yellow footprints on the pavement out front of this bus. You will find a pair of yellow footprints and you will stand. I'm like, who does that? I mean, Independent Baptist might do that. I don't. And when you went and found these footprints, they were at a weird angle so that your feet were at a 45 degree angle. And so you're standing there like a penguin. He said, the first word out of your mouth will be sir, and the last word out of your mouth will be sir from now on. Now, he did not talk as kindly as I'm talking right now because he wasn't live on the World Wide Web. When we got off and we stood on those footprints, he said to us, he said, there's a right way, there's a wrong way, and there's a Marine Corps way. And over the next 13 weeks, I'm going to teach you how to walk. I'm going to teach you how to talk. I'm going to teach you how to speak. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know to become a Marine. We all understand that illustration, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples, I will make you. In other words, there's his way and there's my way. And if I'm going to follow, I need to let him make me. You ever fought with God? Honestly. You ever fought with God? It doesn't end well, does it? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You fight him, and it never ends in your favor, does it? So the thing to do is allow him to make, it's our choice. Follow me. It's your choice. I will make you. Marine Corps put me in a barber's chair and gave me a 7-second haircut. It's never grown back since. It transformed me. I walk differently. I talk differently because of my time in the United States Marine Corps. Well, shouldn't my time with Christ and my time with God's people change me just the same? You see, the Lord says, be ye transformed. That's a command, by the way. That's not a suggestion. And then he says to his disciples, I will make you. In other words, I will do the work if you'll let me. How did the Lord change these men into disciples? He walked with them. He talked with them. He taught them. He ate with them. He cried with them. He prayed with them. He traveled with them. You know what I learned from that? The closer you get to the Lord, the more transformation is possible. The more I study and learn the Word of God, the more change is going to happen in my life. Because the more I'm allowing Him entrance to change me. People, I teach our church takes 3 to thrive. 3 to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon for us, and Thursday night. I don't want people at Legacy on Thursday night just so I could have a crowd. I want people at Legacy on Thursday night because I believe what I study from the Word of God and what I prepare could change our lives and draw us closer to Christ, and we could be transforming and allowing Him to make us into something that we're not. So many times, you know what happens in service? We get discouraged. You ever been discouraged serving the Lord? If you've been a Sunday school teacher, a bus captain, if you've gone out door knocking, you're serving. Sometimes you get discouraged. Do you know why? Because we didn't make something happen. You know, God never wants it to be about us. You go to a door and you knock on the door. The Holy Spirit leads you. You lead somebody to Christ, you had very little to do with that. The Lord said, I will make you. You see how much pressure we can take off ourselves if we'll just believe that God will do it in us? Well, you don't know how I failed. You don't understand how I failed my kids. You don't understand how I failed my husband, my wife. You don't understand how I know this, Jesus does. And He says, I will make you. I will make you. I will transform your life. I find it amazing when I lead somebody to the Lord, one of the first things that I do after I lead somebody to Christ is I deal with them on eternal security. Because I believe once saved, always saved. Why do I believe that? Because the Word of God says it. Right? How long's eternal? How long's everlasting? Can you argue or debate that? No, it means what it means. I find this amazing. We base our eternal security on the Word of God. Because the Bible says eternal life, everlasting. But here when Jesus says to the disciples, I will make you, we wonder, can God really change me? Really me? I've been this way for 82 years. I've been this way. No. He can if you will let Him. The disciples had a choice. You see in Matthew chapter 4, and the Bible says, and straightway they left their nets and followed him. There was a decision made to surrender their will to his will, and they followed him. You know, the amazing thing is when they crucified the Lord, where were these turkeys? They left him, right? All of them. Isn't it disappointing when somebody falls away? Let me ask you this question. How did all the disciples die for the faith? Martyrs. In other words, you may have slipped back a little bit. It's okay. Start following again. You may have come into something that you think is undefeatable. You think is just never in your life are you going to be able to have victory over it. That's a lie of the devil. The Lord says, I will make you. These men that deny, have you done anything worse than denying Christ? Is there anything worse than denying Christ to his face? And yet every one of them died a martyr for the cause of Christ. Why? Because they chose to follow him. Why? Because he said, I will make you. You know, I find it amazing that when Jesus left, what did the disciples do? They went back fishing. You know what happens when you stop following Christ in your life? You start going back to the old life. That's the nature of the flesh. You say, Pastor, how do I know if I need to be transformed, if I need to change, if you're still doing the old stuff? Because the Lord's leading you to new life. The Lord's leading you to abundant life. You see, you have to make the choice to follow him. Then you have to allow him to make you. He's going to make you with his presence. He's going to make you, and we'll see in a second here, he's going to make you with the Word of God. Not only does he transform us by the Word of God, but then he also transforms us by the Spirit of God. I find it amazing in Acts chapter 2, and you don't have to turn there. Go over to Acts chapter 2. I heard you're a captive audience until 8:30, because that's when your kids are dismissed. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house. Then if you jump down to verse 4, and they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Listen, the miracle of Pentecost was not them speaking in a different language or the people that were hearing in a different language. The miracle of Pentecost was to change lives because of the Spirit of God. You see, how are we to be transformed? We're to be transformed by the Word of God. I will make you. How are we to be transformed? By the Spirit of God, which will lead us. Isn't it amazing? When the Lord was getting ready to surrender his life, he said to his disciples, listen, I must go that another may come. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved in here tonight, that Spirit of God lives inside of you. And will try to get you to choose to follow the Word of God. Isn't it amazing? Pastor could get up and he could preach on something that has nothing to do with what you're dealing with in your life. But the Spirit of God comes around. Bam! You're like, oh, where'd that come from? It's the Spirit of God. You see, when we choose to follow him, he gives us his Word to help us. Then he gives us the Holy Spirit to enable our ministry, to enable our service to him. In other words, we have the Word of God, and now we have the Spirit of God. So when he says, be ye transformed, he's making a way for us to change from the old into the new, and none of it is about us. Well, I just don't have the willpower. Really? It doesn't say you need willpower. You need the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Oh, you need to surrender. Yeah. Yeah. You ever driving down the highway and there's a little bit of a traffic backup? You see it coming. So what do? Change lanes. Have you ever noticed it's the wrong lane? And now you're in the other lane, and now you're debating with yourself. I should have stayed. I should have stayed. Or your wife's debating with you. You should have stayed. You should have stayed. Or you're sitting there and you're going back and forth and you just don't know which. Isn't that a miserable way to be? Undecided in which lane? You know, sometimes that's how we are in the Christian life. The Spirit of the Lord leads us. And then we have to choose whether we're going to follow or not. And we wrestle with it. We wrestle with it and wrestle with it. You know how you've surrendered to the Spirit of God? When you decide something and you have perfect peace about it. That's when you know you've surrendered. When you decide something and you're still regretting it and still doubting it, you probably decided wrong. Because the Lord sends peace with His Spirit. I was studying. On Thursday nights, we're doing biographies, and I was studying the life of George Mueller. And George Mueller would train and work with orphans. It's said that he trained and equipped and enabled over 10,000 orphans in knowledge of the Word of God and education. And when they would get ready to graduate from the program, he would bring them into his office. And he would put in their right hand the Bible. And in the left hand, a piece of money. And he would say, young person, if you trust what is in your right hand, God will always supply what you need in the left hand. But if you trust what's in that left hand, you'll never ever have enough to meet the need. And the truth is, when you and I are led by the Spirit of God, when we're led by the Word of God, transformation just happens and it becomes easy. Be ye transformed by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. But then I want you to go one more place. Acts chapter 6. The Bible says, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, or there were a bunch of them, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God, see the Word of God there, and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, what? Full of the Holy Ghost. So, we know this is when deacons came. The church there needed help. They had the disciples, they had a bunch of assistant pastors, and they needed some more help. So now we have deacons or servants of the church. The Word of God confirms that. Now they look for men that were filled with the Spirit of God. And then I see this, they needed each other. Even when the Lord sent His disciples out, He sent them out by two, right? You know what is one of the greatest lies of the devil to a believer in Christ? You're all alone. If you're all alone, you're not in the place where God wants you to be. Because God gave the local church to you as a gift. You ever thought about that? You ever run into somebody who thinks they're God's gift to the local church? It's just the opposite. God's gift to us is the local church because God knew we would need each other. In other words, as a pastor, I need my people as much as my people need me. Does that make sense to you? I mean, I need my people. I need their fellowship. I need their friendship. I need their wisdom. I have some smart people in my church. And they help me make wise decisions. And I need you. And you need me. It's the way God's created it. We're a church family. Think about this. In a world of so many broken homes, and where so many people feel so isolated, what could give you greater joy than being part of a church family? It's God's gift to you. He sent them out in twos. He went together with them. The multitudes met together. The disciples were there in the Word. They looked for men filled with the Spirit of God. And then those men went out and met needs as well. And they multiplied. We need each other. I was just humbled when I walked through the lobby out there and I saw your mission book. It was that thick. You know, every one of those missionaries needs you. Needs your prayers. Needs your support. But do you realize you need them? You realize you need them as well? You see, if you're feeling isolated and feeling alone, maybe you need to choose some things differently. Maybe you need to choose your time. Maybe you need to choose your friends. Maybe you need to choose to surrender to the Word of God. Maybe you need to choose to surrender to the Spirit of God. Because you're in a place where God does not want you to be. I found it amazing if you go back to the creation. If you go back to creation, Adam names all the animals. Could you imagine that job? I don't know how long that took. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, eventually you'd like run out of names. Like, rhinoceros. Yeah, whatever. Next. Hippopotamus. Write that down. I mean, there would be nothing more overwhelming than that. Sometimes I go into a department store like around Christmas time and you see that poor woman sitting there folding shirts. You know what I mean? The whole table's a mess and there she is folding these shirts. And I'm like, I'd quit. Going through college, I had a job packing cookies. The conveyor belt was probably 100 yards long. And I showed up, it was my first day on the job. I showed up and they gave me rubber gloves. I said, that makes sense. So I'm standing on the line and I'm packing cookies, okay? They're X-lax cookies. They're laxative cookies. So you had the rubber gloves on because they would affect you if you didn't, okay? So I'm sitting there, and all day, they never stop coming. They're cookies. They're laxative cookies. They're never stopping coming. The manager came up to me afterwards, first day on the job, said, hey, do you want to work some overtime today? I looked at him. I said, I'm quitting. I'm done. I'm out. I'm tapping out. I'm done. I quit. That's the only job I ever quit in my life. Walked out, never went back. Overwhelming. Nope, sorry. Can't do it. Listen. We need each other because life can be overwhelming. I had a couple from my church just drive to Florida. They go down, snowbirds. Ed, if you're listening, jerk. They go down. They go down for 2 months. On the way down, they couldn't quite make it, so they stopped in Alabama for the night. As they're on their way to go spend 2 months with their son, a voicemail catches up to them. Your son on his way home was in a terrific motorcycle accident. They're 5 hours away. They call me, Pastor, he's been in a very serious accident. Would you pray? We immediately light up the prayer chain. Whole church family praying. Daily, I get a phone call from her. Here's where we're at, Pastor. Here's where we're at. Broke 5 ribs here, 7 ribs in the back, punctured lung. They've had him paralyzed on purpose because the tubes are just so painful and the ribs are so painful. I'm not a doctor. I'm their pastor. I can't help with the broken body, but I sure can pray. And I sure can pass it along to the Legacy Baptist Church that we can pray. Listen, a believer in Christ ought not ever feel alone. Oh, the Lord's with you. I understand that. He sticketh closer than a brother. The Word of God's at your disposal. The Spirit of God is there comforting you. But listen, the people of God are there to cheerlead. They're there to cry. They're there to laugh. They're there to share life with. It's a home that doesn't have to be broken. It's called a church family. How am I transformed? I am today what I am. Because a man went out and got on a bus and drove a bus to my trailer park to pick me up. I am what I am today because the pastor that I got saved under, his pulpit ministry was to me everything I needed to learn the Word of God. My Sunday school teacher was everything I needed to teach me in specifics, those that are in the Word of God. I am what I am today because I have a wife that prays and reads her Bible and shares with me little nuggets and devotionals that over the course of 22 years of marriage has shaped and molded and changed my life. I am what I am today because the Mountain Lake Baptist Church, in my times of tragedy, in my times of grief, in my times of burying two children, prayed over my mind and my life. How do you go through life without a church family? I don't know. Because I made a choice that I needed one and was going to be part of one. See, Romans chapter 12. Go back there and we'll finish. Romans chapter 12. The Bible says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Word of God does that, right? The Holy Spirit does that. Hey, and so do other believers in Christ. You ever been around another believer in Christ where they're talking about something you never heard of? And you're like, what was that? What's that issue? What was that Bible? What were you guys just talking about? And you heard it and you're like, yeah, I guess I had that figured wrong. That happens to me. Then the Bible says this, that ye may prove what is good. How do I know what is good? Because I know it from the Word of God. I know it from the Spirit of God. You ever had something pop up in your life you didn't have a verse for, but the Spirit was grieved? Yeah. I know what's good because the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and also by the local church. It's amazing. We just did a series on tongues. You know, it protects from heresy, the local church. Because in the local church, you prove what is good. You prove what is good. That you may prove what is good. That you may prove what is acceptable. How do I know what's acceptable in my life, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you. Pastor Leatherman's going to get up here on Sunday, and he's going to have a 7-bullet-point list of what is do's and don'ts. No. You read the Word of God. You listen to the Spirit of God, and then the people of God prove it to be so. Isn't it amazing? Look what the Scripture says. That you may prove what is acceptable, that you may prove what is perfect. What's more perfect than this? The only thing in this world that's going to be in heaven is this. We've even got to change. But this won't. Prove what is perfect. Prove what is acceptable. Prove what is good. Are you willing to change? I've been this way. I didn't ask you that. The Lord says, follow me, and I will make you. You want to talk about an extreme makeover? Isn't it amazing? David's dad didn't even call him to come meet the prophet. Because his own father didn't see anything worthwhile there. That's staggering. Wouldn't that hurt you? But God's seen it. Seen it in his life. And knew that little shepherd could be transformed into the greatest king that Israel would have. I don't care what you think about yourself. I don't care what you think you failed or not failed or are or what. All I'm asking you is be transformed. Would you allow the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God to influence and affect your life? I'm going to tell you, the Marine Corps changed me after 13 weeks. And after 20 years of being saved, I sure am glad I'm not what I was. But the realities hit in that I've not apprehended yet. And the Lord still wants to change me. And He's going to use the Word of God, He's going to use the Spirit of God, and He's going to use the people of God to do it. Would you be willing to change if the Lord should want you to change? Actually, He does, because it says be transformed. Father, I know who is in this room this evening. 6 degrees out in the church house, just a good attendance. Lord, these are folks that serve in Sunday school. These are folk that work bus routes. These are folk that memorize Scripture. These are folk that Lord, just work and serve in so many aspects of the local church. But even in a crowd like this, the truth is You still want to change us. The truth is, even us in this room have a stubborn streak that resists change. Lord, I'm asking that through tonight's message, I'm asking that on a cold winter's night, that it would just be logical to people to see that we have not apprehended, we've not arrived, and that we still need to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. All perfect change won't happen until You come again. But for now, You've given us the Word, You've given us the Spirit, and You've given us each other. May those be enough to affect change in our lives. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Maybe you'd say tonight, Pastor, the Scripture, I agree with the Scripture. I agree I need to change. Pastor, I've been struggling because I don't think I can change. And by your message tonight, I kind of come to an understanding that the Lord wants to do the change in my life. So I'm just going to surrender to follow Him and then trust Him to make the change. Pastor, I'm just going to surrender to follow Him tonight and allow Him to make the change in my life. If you're here like that, would you quickly raise your hand as a testimony of that? Hands all over. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're here this evening. The Word of God does matter. The Spirit of God matters. Maybe you're in here this evening and you just feel all alone. You just feel like, boy, you just feel so isolated. You know, in a few minutes we're going to have prayer time. I don't know if it's a custom to break up, but share that with your prayer partner. That you might come alongside somebody, or they might come alongside you. Paul had Barnabas. Barnabas influenced Paul. Paul, Silas, Timothy, Mark. Listen, we need each other. And the only thing that would hinder you from coming out of that isolation is you just being stubborn. People here love you, care about you, and they want to be a blessing to you. It's called a church family for a reason. And love runs deep in a place like this. Father, as we close this service and we move to the prayer time, God, I pray that You would have used the Word of God, Lord, to just bring us back into a reminder that it's okay. Nobody's perfect. Lord, that we all need to continue to conform to the image of Your Son. Help us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Help us to renew our minds or think differently about things that we've thought about because of those things. Lord, thank You for bringing us here. I pray that You take us home safely. In Jesus' name, amen.